So what's the hesitation? Anybody here struggling with anything? Anybody here want to change anything in your life for the better? Anybody want to improve and be more Christ-like and to have God direct your life so that you are a more loving person? All right. Okay. This side of the room is winning this week. All right. They're catching up. I'm not keeping track or anything, but so what's the hesitation? Why is it that we humans so often don't do the things we know we want to do, or don't stop doing the things we know we shouldn't be doing, or perhaps go after that thing that we've always dreamed of and wanted to be and do, or leaving a bad situation, a toxic relationship, a toxic situation that's causing us pain and hurt? What's the hesitation? Somebody said fear of the unknown. That's her reason. We all have a reason, don't we? Fear of the known. I know I can't change. I've tried before and I can't seem to do it. Whatever. Or it's really a lack of trusting that God is going to help us in that next place. God knows all things, right? Does God know your future? What's the future for you? As the scriptures tell us, good plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you peace and give you a blessed life. So who wouldn't want that? Anybody here not want a blessed life? Okay, good. So we have the right crowd here this morning. Excellent. All right, beautiful. I'm not seeing the Facebook hands, but that's okay. They can answer on their own. That's all good. Sometimes there's risk in doing the thing that God is calling us to do, isn't there? Right? We sometimes think that we have to do it alone, and or there's a certain level of giving up something for something better. We have to lose over here to gain over here. How many of you like losing? Nobody in the room wants to lose. We all want to win and gain only, right? And some of us, though, when we're in that place where it's painful, how many of us like pain? Nobody in the room. So we want to gain. We don't want pain. But in order to get to the gain, we have to give up the pain. But we get used to it, don't we? And or we think that there's something over here we're going to gain would be painful too. So I might as well stay where I am. Anybody ever been in that place of yes? Okay. Well, Jesus knew this. I'm going to jump to the New Testament first, and because I want to give a couple of examples of what I believe sometimes happens to us. And in the New Testament, Jesus is walking with all of his disciples. He's been already performing miracles. He's talking to them about the kingdom of God, which is nothing but gain. If you lose your life, you're going to gain eternal life. You're going to gain all the power of God when you give up being human and you go after what's divine. So what do we got to lose? Nothing. We have everything to gain, right, except we have to lose ourselves in the process. That's where we sometimes get a little bit stuck. How do I know that? Let's look at the book of Luke this morning, chapter 9. And Jesus is going forward with his disciples and teaching them. And this is an opportunity where he's really gathering more and more disciples, the followers of Christ, students of his. And so in the chapter, it says here in Luke 9, verse 57, it says, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you no matter where you go. How many of us have said that to Jesus or to God? I will follow you wherever you go. This side's still winning, I must admit. Okay. Maybe it's because I'm right-handed. They're going with my hand, right? How many of us have said that and meant that when we said it? Of course we did, right? I will follow you. Sometimes we think I will follow you, right? Wherever is kind of like, I don't know about the wherever. Because wherever might mean I might have to change, because I might have to be different in the future than where I am now. But this man says, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Jesus replies, he wants you to understand something about truly following him. He says, foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have no home of my own, not even a place to lay my head. Want to follow me still? You know, see, Jesus doesn't say, okay, beautiful, there's a mansion on a hill. When you follow me, we're going to get there, and it's going to be all beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be spectacular. What a view you're going to have. You're going to have a built-in pool. You're going to have all kinds of, you know, palm trees around it. You're going to lay on the beach by that, watch the sunsets and so forth. You're like 2 minutes from the beach. You got to just walk there. Jesus doesn't say that's where you're going to end up. What's he say? If you're going to follow me, I've got no place to lay my head. I got no place to call home. What's Jesus wanting to do here? Tell you the facts. The reality of following Christ doesn't promise us all this material things, does it? What's it do promise us? It does promise us eternal life, a fuller life, a more fulfilling life, that we're not to go after the material and worry about that. When you have fear of the unknown, it's more about where am I going to live? What am I going to do? What job am I going to have? And all those kind of things that we humans think about, right? That's what we focus on. Where's my next job? Where's this? How am I going to take care of myself? I got to work, right? Kind of attitude. What is Jesus saying? Well, if you're going to follow me, I got no place to lay my head. Come on. It's going to be an exciting trip, however. He said to another person, come be my disciple. The man agreed. How many of you want to be Christ's disciples? We all agree. Yeah, of course I do. And then he says, Lord, but first, let me return home and bury my father. Let me go home first. I left something on the stove. I got to get home. I got these plants I've been taking care of in my property, and I got to go water them. As soon as I finish that, I'll come follow you. Right? So we give God conditions, don't we? If this happens in my life, then I'll go. That's the hesitation I'm talking about. Jesus replied, let those who are spiritually dead care for their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach the coming of the kingdom of God. Whoa. Somebody's already dead. We're supposed to be alive in Christ, right? What's our duty? Preach the kingdom of God to others, to keep moving, no matter where we are, to teach and talk about God's kingdom and the kingdom things that matter, spiritual things, not earthly things. Totally different. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me go say goodbye to my family. I have to go. You know, we're going to have a going away party. And I got plans. Like, you know, I got to get a hall, and I got to get all my friends and family together. We got to get food. We got to get decorations. We got to get all these things. As soon as I finish that party, I'll come follow you. What are all these people really doing and saying? I'm just not ready. I don't, you know what you said in the first thing about there's no place to lay your head? I'm not sure I'm up to that task. I like my comfort. I like to be nested. I like my easy chair. I want to put my feet back and enjoy some TV through the week. I got football to watch. And as soon as the season's over and a certain team wins, our team, as soon as the team wins, then I'll come follow you. What's going on with these folks? Is it fear? Or is it they like their comfort? They want their comfort. They want what they know, what they've done year after year after year after year. We are creatures of habit, aren't we, humans? Of course we are. And we get used to things, don't we? even now, we're talking about, you know, having parties and, you know, I got to say goodbye to my family, and that sounds, you know, pretty benign. But what if we're in a painful situation and Christ comes to us and says, come follow me? And you're thinking, well, I don't know what that's going to be like, but I know what I have. So I'm used to this. Is that not our hesitation? We tend to stick with what we already know, don't we? Even when it's harmful to us, don't we, humans? We all have to identify our own hesitation, our own reason why we stay where we're at. Once you can identify what it is or what's stopping you, and you say, ah, this is what it is. I really need more security in my life. And in order to be secure, I have to have XYZ. And then when I feel secure, then I can step out. Once I get all my ducks in order and everything's just so, then I'll move to the next thing God's asking me to do. That's what creates procrastination and hesitation. Now back to my original question. How many of you want a better life? A more, okay, the whole room is saying I do. In order to do that over there that Christ is calling us all to, we have to get rid of our hesitation and our reasons not to move out of where we're at. And to just kind of close your eyes, take a deep breath, and jump in to following Christ. And see what happens. You'll find out when you get there how cool and awesome it is. Do you trust God enough to take that step? Let's turn to 1 Kings 19, because this is another example of maybe the difference between partial commitment. You know, some of us are, you know, we're committed to things, memberships. Here it is, August. How many of you started an exercise or a diet program in January after the first of the year, maybe, right? And how many of you kept that? How many of you? Where something you were going to stop doing and start. How many of you promised God on New Year's Eve you'd come to Bible study and come to church every Sunday and you'd help minister to others and you'd serve God no matter what? And you'd go to God and ask questions. What do I do next, God? You'd constantly put God 100% and you would trust God 100% for the entire year. How many of us promised that? How many of us have actually fulfilled that and kept that promise? Where's my hands? We meant it when we said it, didn't we? See, I believe there's a power in a decision. But when you make the decision, you've got to make the decision taking full account of what it could cost you, what the pain might be if you give up something. Because some of us say, okay, if I give this up, what am I going to replace it with? And if we don't have a replacement for it, we go right back to the old way of doing things because that's how the human mind functions. However, if you make that decision and you say, no matter what, I'm doing it, and I just do it, you just jump in and go, there's a difference, isn't there? We get stuck in the hesitation, though, don't we? We get stuck in thinking about what we're going to do. We overthink whether or not we can do it. We research, like, for example, if someone's going to go on a diet, I mean, there's now the keto diet, I guess it's called, right? There's been the rice diet, the sugar diet, the, that's a diet I was on. the seafood diet, you see food and you eat it. that's my... We can research ad infinitum, can't we? For the perfect diet or perfect exercise class, can't we? And we never go to the places because this one, I don't know, I don't like bacon, so I don't think I should eat that. Rice, I don't know. I don't like rice. Exercise, that's going to hurt. I'm fine the way I am. If people don't love me the way I am, so be it. My size doesn't matter. It's what's inside that matters. Yes. And I know I'm thinking about what's going to go inside right now. Chocolate cake would be perfect inside of me. How easy, right? See, we use thoughts and thinking and research and overthinking to cause us to hesitate and not act. See, I believe action changes everything. One itty-bitty small act that you take, it doesn't have to be monumental, doesn't have to be huge. It's one small step. Let's say you want to get a degree in college. You take one course. You sign up for the course, and you go take the course, right? Sometimes it helps to pay for something because it forces you to go do it. I wish you'd have to pay to follow Jesus because then it'd be like, well, I'm committed. I gave him $50. I'm in this thing. I want my $50 worth. We need to have that automatic withdrawal from your checking account month by month by month. Oh, no. Anyway. Hesitation to me is just another word for an excuse. It's if you don't really want to do something, tell yourself the truth. You know what? I don't really want to do that. Just be honest. It's okay. God can take honesty. Just say, well, you know, there's next year. And next year. And, you know, well, someday I'll. I don't know how you get to someday I'll. I don't know how you take it by boat or by plane. But you could get to someday I'll. I don't know that anybody's ever been to someday I'll. Anybody here been to someday I'll? Oh, one person's been there. Beautiful. How did you get there? Was it by boat? Was it by plane? Or was it by making the decision? This is the day. Today's the day. I will. I am. Present tense. Back to the book of 1 Kings 19. Elijah had just had a battle with some of the pagans who were worshiping Baal. And he gets discouraged because they just don't follow God. And God tells him, keep on your ministry, and there's going to be a successor after you who's going to go and complete your ministry, and things are going to keep going. And after that successor, there's going to be a savior that's going to come, and it's going to help lead the people. So it's going to go on forever. And so in chapter 19, verse 19, verse 19, it says, Elijah went and found Elisha, because God said, go find Elisha. And he was son of Shaphat, plowing a field with a team of oxen. And just so you know, Elisha's name meant God is salvation. So there's a spiritual connection there. There were 11 teams of oxen ahead of him, and he was plowing with the 12th team. So get this picture. Back then, huge, huge fields would be plowed. There were 11 plows ahead of him with oxen plowing this field. He was in the 12th oxen team. Now, 12 is a significant number in Scripture. 12 disciples, 12 sons of Jacob, 12 pillars around Jerusalem's temple. It's the number of completion and divine government, divine order, if you will. So this is why the person that's plowing the 12th team is the one that God is going to choose, because that makes it complete, his work to be done yet. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and walked away again. This cloak, by the way, would happen to be the cloak that Elijah used to part the sea, to heal people, to cause water to flow. This cloak was anointed. So he takes off his cloak, puts it on Elisha. What do you think is being demonstrated there? That Elisha was going to be the successor, right? He was going to also do miracles, just like Elijah had done. And, you know, we see this, that Jesus wore a robe, didn't he? And when he died, he had that robe on, didn't he? And then when he rose from the dead, there was the robe in the tomb. And then that robe was cast aside for all humanity to then put on that robe of righteousness. So each and every one of us now are like Elisha's. That's just the spiritual connection there. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. What does this sound like or sound familiar to? the people in Luke. First, I got to go kiss my father goodbye. Then I'm going to come follow you. Elijah replied, go on back, but consider what I have done to you. What does Elisha know? He's been chosen by God, right? The cloak that's holy and anointed has been put on Elisha. Does Elisha have a choice not to follow God? Yes, he does. We all have choices. Has God chosen Elisha? Yes. What is Elisha going to do with this choice? Well, first I'm going to go say goodbye to my father. Elijah says, go ahead. Go back. See, here's the thing about God's graciousness to us. We all have the opportunity to say to God, I got to go do something first. And once I'm done with that thing, whatever that is, when I decide that I've had enough of what that is in my life, and when I'm going to say goodbye to my family and my ways of doing things, my old self, when I'm going to say goodbye to all that, then I'm going to come follow you. Because here's the thing, if you don't say goodbye to the past, can you say hello to the future? What's going to happen with the past? It's going to come right along with you, right? Anybody here have any baggage that they carry around with them everywhere they go? Yeah, well, now the whole room is lighting up. Wonderful. That's your past. See, in this particular case, Elisha knew that he had that cloak put on him. And Elijah says, well, think about what I've done here. This is, you got a big future in front of you. Listen, I guess what I'm trying to say to all of you is this. You have a bright, beautiful future ahead of you for you to do work for God and for your life to get better and greater. You have that future. Are you going to wear the cloak of God's power on you and go do that thing? What has to happen first? You have to say, and goodbye, old self. Goodbye, old way of thinking. Goodbye, old way of being selfish. Goodbye, old way of being negative. Goodbye, all the ways I used to be. Goodbye to that pain. I have to say goodbye, don't we? Right? Are you ready to say goodbye to your old self? It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. It's like birth. Owie, owie, owie. And coming from a person who's never given birth, I know it hurts. I've seen. Whoa. But what's that birth bring us? Oh, new life, a beautiful. The Bible tells us that after the birth pangs, the mother goes, wow. Right? And that's what I want you to say about your life. Your new life is wow. But you got to say goodbye to the old life, your old way of doing things, your old way of thinking, your old way of believing about you. Elisha then returned to his oxen, killed them, and used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the other plowmen, and they all ate. He had his going away party. But what did he do? That was his means of living, right? He took it and he burned it all up. He got rid of it all. See, here's the thing about us humans and we that are wanting to change and grow. The old stuff has to go. It has to be burned up in a fire, if you will. It has to be destroyed. It has to be never visited again. It has to be thrown overboard. Whatever you got to do with that, you got to take it out to the garbage dump, throw it in our dumpster, bring it up here to the altar if that's necessary. You got to get it out of your life. You can't be in two places at the same time, can you? You can't live in the past and live in the future, too. You get stuck in the middle, don't you? How many of you want a better life? What do you have to first do? Say yes to God. God is saying, come follow me. You have to make a decision. It's a decision. I will follow you wherever you go, even if it's scary, even if it's not comfortable, even if it seems like I'll never make it on my own. I'm not on my own. I'm going to follow you anyway, God. And I'm going to say goodbye to all those old resentments, all those grudges, all those people that have hurt me, all that stuff of my past. I'm saying goodbye. See you later. Adios. Don't you try to follow me. if I can make it possible to build a wall between you and your past, it would be like brick, mortar, steel. It would be 1 million feet high. It would have barbed wire on it. It would have alarm bells. It would have shock things when you went to touch it and go back to it. Every time you try to go back to the past and remember how bad you were. Every time you try to say, well, I can't because my so-and-so told me I'll never make it. I would love to have that happen to all of you. But I can't do that. Who has to do it, though? You do. Who has to give up on what was to have what can be? You do. The power's in your hands. When you start to waver and hesitate, I pray that somebody's behind you pushing you forward, and that somebody is your past person who wanted more, who says, go for it, go for it, go for it. I've always wanted to do that. Let's go for it. That's what I pray for you. Then Elisha went with Elijah as his assistant. There are some steps to change, aren't there? First step is to say, to hear the voice of God calling you and saying, come follow me. Wherever I go, God says. And you say, okay, I'm in it. I got a few things to settle with my past first. I'll tell you what, God, why don't you take care of that for me? How about you erase the past and you forgive the past? How about you help me with that, God? And then God does, right? And then you only look forward to the future. And you follow Christ. You notice a following. He's leading us, right? If he leads us, will he ever lead us astray? Will he ever take us off a cliff? Will he take us to where we're going to get burned to a crisp and be destroyed? No. So why wouldn't you want to follow Christ? Makes sense to me, doesn't it? So, all of you have the opportunity right now to make a decision. There is power in a decision. I'm asking you this morning, will you follow Christ? I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to say goodbye to your past? So let's do that together, shall we? Goodbye. Bye. Bye. My future, I see Christ ahead of me. I'm going to catch up and follow him wherever he leads. Isn't there peace in that? Knowing that God is leading you out of pain into gain. Glorious, isn't it? And so now, church, and now people that are hearing this, the rest is up to you. Keep moving forward. Keep following Christ. And should your past try to follow you, you know when it starts, when you start hearing that stuff or seeing that stuff or feeling that stuff, right? And you look back at it, what are you going to do? Zap. You are not a part of me anymore. Christ is in me. I'm following Christ all the way my Savior leads me. Amen? Amen. Amen.